Chief Clerk, would you call the roll in reverse?
Sure. Roll call for Wednesday, February 15th. President Bebout.
Here.
Wasserberger.
What?
Here. Von Fladern.
Here again.
Scott.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Perkins.
Excused.
Pappas.
Here.
Nethercott. Moniz.
Here.
Meyer.
Excused.
Landon.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Emmerich.
Right here.
Ellis.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Burns.
Here.
Bouchard.
Here.
Boner. Barnard,
here.
Baldwin,
here.
Anselmi Dalton,
here.
Anderson,
here.
Agar, excused.
Excused.
27 present, 3 excused.
Fire here. Sounds kind of funny going backwards, doesn't it, members of the Senate? Prayer this morning by the Reverend Rick Veit. Please rise.
Thank you. I'd like to offer you an amended prayer of Archbishop Chrysostom of Constantinople from the 4th century A.D. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you. And you have promised that when two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us and for the people of Wyoming, granting us in this world and in this state knowledge of your truth and inspiring us to take proper action. In the name of our one and holy God. Amen.
Amen. Join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 14, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Larry Kirvin. He's been here before. He's here somewhere. The nurse for the day, there will be no nurse today. Excuse me. Today in Wyoming history, in 2006, Cheyenne's Union Pacific Depot was declared a National Historic Landmark. Today is day 27 of the proposed 37-day session. Members of the Senate, I'm going to take the liberty of being your president to just share something with you this morning that I had the opportunity to present at the Governor's Prayer Breakfast. I'll go through it very quickly, but I think it's pretty appropriate. It's from the Old Testament reading today, and it's found in Psalm 143. Answer me quickly, Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Reports from standing committees.
February 15, 2017. Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 41, Court-Ordered Placements, Age Restrictions, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Cole, Ellis, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger. Excused, Senator Pappas. Senator Coe, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, reviewed House Bill 1 pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1E. The following lists are provided. Dispensing with further reading, Senator Burns, Chairman.
In accordance with Rule 14-1F, House Bill 1 is referred directly to third reading. Bills on second reading. House Bill 6, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 6, Principle-Based Reserving.
House Bill 6 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the House be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 27, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 27, School Facility Property Insurance.
I believe we have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that in.
House Bill 27, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 4.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President. Mr. President, I move adoption of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 27. Mr. President, this is the shorter of the two amendments. Mr. President, what this amendment does is it gives the Board of Trustees of the school district the option of not insuring facilities valued at $100,000 or less on a per-facility determination where they decide on a facility basis that the cost is disproportionately higher with regard to the value. Mr. President, what this does is simply give your local school district license to be sensible. If they should have, for example, a used portable classroom that they're just using now for storage or occasional office space or something like that, and the risk is that it will blow down or that a hailstorm will get the roof or whatnot, and if they say, look, this facility is close to the end of its useful life, and if it something happens to it, we'll just scrap it, and we won't replace it. There's no point in insuring those things, Mr. President. Or if there's a store shed or something like that, it would be simple to make other arrangements for whatever's in it, or just get rid of the thing. This, rather than force them to insure every building, be a cost savings to give them the discretion not to bother on ones that they wouldn't, especially, Mr. President, ones they wouldn't replace. So I would urge the adoption of this amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. A question for the sponsor. A lot of your property insurance also covers your liability. I know in the case of a hangar, you insure the hangar at the airport, and then it also will cover anybody getting injured walking through it or walking around it. So I'm wondering if they don't insure that, can somebody get injured in a windstorm or just slip on the ice and not be insured? I don't know that, but question.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I actually was going to make the same point, and I do know that that when they come in, and take a look at a campus or a school district property, there's a pretty comprehensive look at the entire thing. I'm just kind of curious about the benchmark of $100,000. We probably have some facilities out there, Mr. President, that I'd be hesitant not to have any coverage on those. So I guess I'm a little hesitant to support the amendment. I'm not quite sure where it's going. I understand that we try to give a little bit of discretion there to the local board, But a $100,000 property is fairly substantial. There are some modulars out there, for example, that might qualify under this amendment. So I'd be hesitant to support this one.
Further discussion? Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Senator Scott, for your Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, a question about this. I think we're not getting, as far as slip and falls, we're not talking about general liability coverage. I think school districts have general liability coverage that covers the acts of their, and so we're just talking about a property from fire, hazard, storm, those types of things. We're talking about that destruction, and I think what we're really doing in this, if I understand this amendment right, and this is what the question I have for the bringer of the amendment is, I think all we're doing is simply saying that districts can elect and self-insure for these smaller buildings. And so, you know, I guess one way I look at it, Mr. President, is this day and age, you go out and you buy something and you start paying for that replacement or that extended coverage on a new item, and if you don't have to pay very many years before, you could have just bought a new one in the first place. And I think that's the direction that this amendment's taking it. I'd just like some clarification and confirmation from the bringer about that.
Further discussion? Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, with regard to the last comment, exactly. We are giving them some discretion to be sensible, where it just doesn't make economic sense to insure the building. With regard to the comment on the liability, that's a separate issue. What we're talking here is really the property insurance, and I would expect that my experience is the liability coverage is separate. I think that's the norm, and they wouldn't be doing that on a facility basis. I would think it would be a general policy, and we'd remain covered. With regard to, is the 100,000 figure the right figure? Mr. President, if somebody thought different, we could sure change that on third reading. I put it in there because some of those things, and a modular would be a good example, Mr. President, might be approaching that, particularly in replacement value, but if it's no longer got a particular use for it, and their response to an accident or a fire or something would be just to scrap it because they don't need it anymore, then you might go up that high in value. But you could sure use a lower value. It's a discretionary item. The school districts, and they're the ones that would know, would, with this amendment, just be able to be sensible about where it's just not worth the cost of buying the insurance, Mr. President. So I urge the adoption of the amendment.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 27. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 2. Reading clerk, please read it in. Mr. Vice President, would you come up here?
House Bill 27, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 7.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 27. Mr. Vice President, what this amendment does, and you may recognize this, we did something a little similar in the budget bill, but this amendment does two things. First, there is a real question whether with the requirement in the bill is to provide insurance coverage for all your buildings and your property. The school districts, about half of them, my understanding is, are obtaining their property coverage, and I think their liability coverage, through a joint powers board that the school districts have formed. And, Mr. Vice President, I think it's a very good argument that that is technically not insurance and would not pass the muster of this bill. So we need to say specifically that it will pass the muster. It's not issued by an insurance company. It's not governed by the insurance code, it's not insurance. And they've got some materials out saying it's not insurance. It's coverage, but not insurance. So we need to make that clear. And that's what the first part of the amendment does. And then, Mr. Vice President, we've got this Joint Powers Board. We don't really know what kind of reserves it has, what kind of reinsurance it has. We don't know if they're adequate to provide what would amount to insurance coverage. And we ask the insurance department to go examine them the same way they would an insurance company and see if their reserves and their reinsurance are adequate to cover the risk that they're taking and use the same standards that the NAIC has prescribed for private insurance companies. You have to adapt them slightly to a government joint powers board, but the department assures me that would be no problem. They have the capacity to do it. And that way we know whether we can really rely on this insurance, because it is going out and competing with private insurance and charging about half as much. So it's a good deal if it's good coverage. But with the Campbell decisions, if it's not good coverage and we have a major loss, we're the backup. We'd have to replace those buildings. So we need to know, is it good coverage? And that's what this amendment does. It has the insurance commissioner go out, examine, report back to Joint Education Committee and Joint Corporations Committee. And it's got a deadline set in here that if they find that things are inadequate and it wouldn't be solvent after March 31st, 2018, so after the budget session, they could act, and that action presumably would come if we didn't do something about it during the budget session. Would give us time, Mr. Vice President. So that's what this does, is it makes sure we've got the kind of coverage we're asking for, and it's worth something. So with that, Mr. Vice President, I urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Anyone wish to speak on second reading? Senator Landon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice President, and I do appreciate the good chairman for coming to me yesterday and explaining motives and intentions with this particular amendment. My reaction this morning was, stand back, we don't know how big this is going to get. This is quite detailed, and I wanted to explain to you fellow senators where I think this came from. I received the same memo, the same letter that the good chairman did, and I believe it probably came from the private sector and was concerned about this very thing. And so I honestly do not think this is a bad thing. It's not an area that the select committee, Mr. Vice President, went into in great detail. Because we've heard good things about the coverage that is provided underneath this Joint Powers Board. And I will tell you that in visits with their representatives yesterday out in the hall, they actually would welcome this look. The verbiage at the bottom of the amendment that puts the hammer in there probably isn't necessary, Mr. Vice President. We can think about that for third reading, but I do think they would welcome, you know, and throw the books open and allow the state to take a look. I don't think it hurts anything, but I did want the Senate to understand that this probably came as a note of concern. I assumed, Mr. Vice President, probably somebody who maybe had a district move over onto this coverage, and so that's probably why we received the concerns, and it doesn't hurt us at all to alleviate those concerns with this amendment. So I consider it mostly friendly. We can take a look at some of the verbiage for for third reading if we have some concerns about the date of March of 2018, but thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Any further discussion on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 27? Seeing none, are you in ready for the question?
Question
hasn't been called. All in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 27, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 27, or second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 27 is passed, has been adopted. Senator Ellis.
Good morning, Mr. Vice President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you. I'd like to just welcome a group of students here. They are members of the Junior Leadership Group of Laramie County. And so we have representatives from Burns, Central, East, and South High. And a purpose of their group is to understand government processes better and to develop their leadership skills. So they're here to watch our leadership in action. So I just wanted to take a moment to recognize them. They're in the back gallery.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to the Senate. Senator Coe, would you like privilege?
May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate, we have attending here today in the balcony, or in the, whatever this is out here, the gallery, some people from Gear Up Wyoming. And just to tell you about what Gear Up Wyoming is, it's a college prep program at all of our community colleges that works with students, 7th grade to freshman year in college, to prepare both students and their parents to be prepared for college. Includes counseling to ensure students take Hathaway scholarship curriculum, provides family programming that helps families learn about college requirements. They also learn about financial aid and what to expect. There are 251 students and their families involved in the LCCC program. Joining us today is Bridget Nelson, 11th grader at South High School, and Clarissa Antonez, a 10th grader at South High School, with Kelly Palisier. So would you please welcome the Gear Up Wyoming people.
Welcome to the Wyoming Senate. Anybody else out there? Seeing none, House Bill 27 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32. Will the clerk please read it in?
House Bill 32 engrossed, Ski Safety Act.
House Bill 32 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 35. Will the clerk please read in?
House Bill 35, Sponsorship of Legislation.
House Bill 35, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, so ordered. House Bill 55. Reading clerk.
House Bill 55, engrossed, Spending Policy Amendments 2.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in amendment number 1?
House Bill 55, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 10.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 55 and ask the body to vote aye. What this does is goes back in particular and looks at the piece out of the Common School Permanent Land Fund. And as if you remember from our lengthy discussion yesterday, which I apologize for, that by increasing and guaranteeing the 5%, that had the effect of providing potentially $80 million in additional funding for education over the next few years. What this does is it comes back and brings back that we have out there two bills that deal with the other portions or parts of the education funding issues and matters that we're dealing with down here. And so what this does is it becomes back and it delays the effective date of that guarantee of moving it from the 3.5% to the 5%. It delays that until we resolve what was going on with either Senate File 165 or House Bill 236, both of which have other pieces of this funding mechanism in it. The purpose and thought behind this is, and in doing so, that you have to kind of go back to the old model for a little bit if neither one of those things passed. But ultimately, what this does do is when we go, members of the Senate, to solve and get a handle on the education funding crisis, if we start firing our rounds early, we're going to be left with blanks when we really need to get it done. And so this just brings this timing together so that when we go to work this, that we can do it in concert. And I would ask your favorable consideration to stand for questions.
Further discussion on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 55. Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All in favor of second reading amendment number one to House Bill 55, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill, second reading amendment number one to House Bill 55 has been adopted. We're on the second amendment. Would the reading clerk please read that in?
House Bill 55, second reading amendment number two to engrossed copy, corrected copy, page 2, line 1.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I move for second reading amendment number two to House Bill 55. Folks, what this does is drops back to what the committee originally had put together, which was a great bill. They put it together right. Applies some effective dates that are a little further down the road, but it moves these numbers back in so that once we've got the pots filled that they set up, we went ahead and went with the House side, stayed with the little bit larger pots of money to be able to grow into these. But it changes the percentages onto a step-down basis and should put our spending more in line with what flows into the corpus on the thing. Long term, it's healthier for Wyoming and moves it where the bill really is a solid bill that works long term. I'd stand for any questions.
Any further discussion on second reading amendment number two to House Bill 55? Seeing none, all in favor of second reading amendment number two to House Bill 55, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number two to House Bill 55 has passed. House Bill 55, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read for a third time? Seeing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 60.
House Bill 60, engrossed, state investment policy.
House Bill 60, having read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 70.
House Bill 70, Occupational Safety and Health Administration Actions.
House Bill 70, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 79.
House Bill 79, engrossed, State Funds Equity Investments Pool.
House Bill 79, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 129.
House Bill 129, engrossed, Food Freedom Act Amendments.
House Bill 129, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 195.
House Bill 195, Quebec One Transfer.
We do House Bill 195, Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'd just like to address a question that was asked on Committee of the Whole yesterday. After researching the original Senate File 5 from 2 years ago, there was a baseline environmental survey conducted at Quebec One. The report came back clean. It's about an inch and a half worth of paper. If anybody wants access to it, we could certainly provide that. Also, if anybody has any specific questions about the environmental concerns, and I tell you that they're minimal. Feel free to share those detailed concerns with me, and I can certainly rely on my previous life experience to answer any of those. So with that, Mr. Vice President, I stand for any questions.
Turn on the mic. Further questions on 195. House Bill 195, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Case.
If I could squeeze in here between second and third, Mr. Vice President, I
please
have
do.
A request for a re-referral, House Bill 165, Acupuncture Practice Act by Representative Barlow has a very small and appropriate appropriations, and I think perhaps we should re-refer to them to get their okay.
And could I have that reading again, please?
House Bill 165, Acupuncture Practice Act.
House Bill 165, Acupuncture Practice Act, has been re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. Thank you, Senator Case. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. Vice President, I do have a consent list. Mr. Vice President, I move the consent list as follows. House Bill 19, Sales from Remote Sellers. House Bill 21, Secretary of State, Certificates of Authentication. House Bill 22, Business Entities, Communications Contact. House Bill 36, Obsolete Laws. House Bill 38, School Finance, Interfund Borrowing. House Bill 82, Local Optional Sales and Use Taxes. House Bill 118, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities. House Bill 192, Court Automation Fee 2. House Bill 291, Department of Health Facilities. House Joint Resolution 8, Federal Responsibility for American Indian Health Care.
Mr. Majority Leader, did you call, Majority Floor Leader, did you call House Bill 36?
I hope so. I did. I think I called it Obsolete Laws. Did I call it something else?
I wasn't paying attention at the moment. Just wanted to confirm.
I can do it again. Mr. Just in case we didn't do it, one more time for the record. Also on the consent list is House Bill 36, Obsolete Laws.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. House Bill on the consent list today is House Bill 19, Sales from Remote Sellers, House Bill 21, Secretary of State Certificate. Mike turned on. Would anybody like to any of these bills removed from the consent list? Sorry about that, Senator Kinsley.
Mr. Chairman, I'd ask that House Bill 82 and House Bill 118 be pulled from consent for brief discussion. Thank you.
Anybody else like Senator Christensen? No. Anyone else like a bill removed from the consent list? If not, on the consent list today is House Bill 19, Sales from Remote Sellers, House Bill 21, Secretary of State Certificates of Authentication, House Bill 22, Business Entities, Communications Contact, House Bill 36, Obsolete Laws, House Bill 192, Court Automation Fee 2. Did you get?
Did you miss 38?
30. House Bill 38, yes. House Bill 38, School Finance Interfund Borrowing. House Bill 192, Court Automation Fee 2. House Bill 291, Department of Health Facilities. And House Joint Resolution 8, Federal Responsibility for American Indian Health Care. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll? Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just would you go through that consent list one more time, please, to make sure we're all correct on it?
I certainly will, Mr. President. I know you're just testing me, but I'll try to get this correct. House Bill 1919, Sales from Remote Sellers. House Bill 21, Secretary of State, Certificates of Authentication. House Bill 22, Business Entities, Communications Contact. House Bill 36, Obsolete Laws. House Bill 38, School Finance Interfund Borrowing. House Bill 192, Court Automation Fee 2. House Bill 291, Department of Health Facilities. And House Joint Resolution 8, Federal Responsibility for American Indian Health Care. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
On the consent list, Agar excused, Anderson,
aye.
Anselmi Dalton,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barnard,
aye.
Boner,
aye.
Bouchard?
Excused.
Excused. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer? Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott? Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 19, are there any changes? Bouchard?
No.
Bouchard, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 19, 26 aye, 3 no. One excused. House Bill 21, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 21, House Bill 21, 29 aye, one excused. House Bill 22, are there any changes? Landon, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no.
Kinski, aye to no.
Kinski, aye to no.
Ellis, aye to no.
Ellis, aye to no. Perkins,
aye to no.
Coe, aye to no. Bouchard, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 22, 16 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
Ellen.
House Bill 36, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 36, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 38, are there any changes? Scott? Scott, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Hicks, aye to no.
Bebout,
aye to no. Bouchard, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Kinski, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 38, 19 aye, 10 no, 1 excused. House Bill 192, are there any changes? Case, aye to no.
Kinski,
aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Dockstetter, aye to no.
Shard,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 192. 24 aye, 5 no, 1 excused. House Bill 291. Are there any changes?
Bouchard,
aye to no.
Scott,
aye to no.
Meyer,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 291, 26 aye, 3 no, 1 excused. House Joint Resolution number 8, are there any changes? Hicks? No. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Joint Resolution 8, 29 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 19, House Bill 21, House Bill 22, House Bill 36, House Bill 38. Mr. President.
You need to say the title of the bill as well when you report it.
No, it's House Bill 119, Sales from Remote Sellers. House Bill 21, Secretary of State Certificates of Authentication. House Bill 22, Business Entities, Communications Contact. House Bill 36, Obsolete Laws. House Bill 38, School Finance Interfund Borrowing. House Bill 192, Court Automation Fee 2. House Bill 291, Department of Health Facilities. And House Joint Resolution 8, Federal Responsibility for American Indian Health Care, has passed the Senate. Senator Meyer.
Folks, we got the Trail Elementary just leaving the building. May I have privilege of the floor, and you guys
yes, you
welcome
may.
Them as they leave.
Hey. Hey.
Mrs. Cummings and Mrs. Hunter are their teachers, and it's that great class from Trail. Yeah, Trail.
All right.
Yeah.
The rest of them came back in.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome and goodbye.
Yep.
You just got a minute.
Okay.
Oh, we just got nurse of the day, too, so I'll take privilege of the floor. Is Becky Tinsley here? Becky is from Cook County Public Health. Welcome. Senator Bouchard.
Mr. Vice President, can I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
In the group from the elementary school, that's, you're seeing the tail end of the group leaving. My sister-in-law, Julie Garza from Torrington, and by the way, she's a state employee, works for the prison, and my great nephew, Elijah, is standing out there, and I would hope that you welcome them to the floor, a special welcome from the Senate.
All right, welcome. House Bill 37 on third reading. Senator Christensen, my mistake.
Mr. Vice President, Acting President, privilege of the floor.
You may have it.
Thank you. Members of the legislature, members of the Senate, in the back of the room here, I'd like to introduce Lexi Doherty and her father, Jeff, who drove her across the state last night to come give testimony in our committee this morning and participate in the process. Lexi's also going to be attending UW this fall. She's a multiple award-winning champion in rifle sports. She came to talk about the gun bills. She and her father participated in the Wyoming Women's Antelope Hunt, where Lexi was the youth hunter and got her antelope last year, 2 years ago. Jeff teaches hunter safety across the state and has helped in a lot of communities, and right now he's currently in the leadership at our school district at home. So please welcome him to the Senate and thank him for driving to participate.
Welcome to the Wyoming Senate, and thank you for driving. House Bill 37 on third reading.
House Bill 37, engrossed, Teacher Accountability, sponsored by the Education Committee, an act relating to teacher accountability.
There is an amendment. Would the clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 37, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 5.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a follow-up.
Would you like to move that?
Oh, yes, please, Mr. Chairman. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 37.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, this is a follow-up to the conversation that we had on the bill on first reading. It remedies an oversight in terms of this particular piece of legislation. Current law, this legislation is striking a requirement in state law that says beginning school year 19 to 20 and each school year thereafter, inadequate performance as determined through a performance evaluation tied to student academic growth for at least 2 consecutive years. That's all being struck. Currently, that is one of the bases for termination of a teacher in 27-21-7-110. Now that statutory reference is being struck, and there's nothing being put back in its place. This new bill, if enacted, would refer to ineffective teaching, and so it seems fitting to then replace into 21-7-110 that a board may suspend or dismiss any teacher for ineffective teaching. So currently they can be suspended or dismissed for being incompetent, neglect of duty, immorality, insubordination, or inadequate performance. We're striking inadequate performance and substituting in other parts of the bill ineffective teaching. This simply carries a cross-reference to that ineffective teaching over to the dismissal or suspension disciplinary provision. So we add one sentence, Article 9, ineffective teaching as defined by board rule could be the basis for a suspension or dismissal of a teacher. I would urge the body's favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on third reading amendment number 1. Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to rise against simply because I'm really not sure what this is doing, and I was at a meeting and missed the amendment. But I'm not real sure where we're headed with this, and so I would ask the floor to be cautious. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion, Senator Rothfuss.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. I'd ask the chair for a ruling on the germaneness of this amendment. The legislation title talks about making conforming amendments, but basically eliminating teacher accountability, phase 2. This amendment changes and adds, you can see there's a substantive change on page 1, line 5, related to suspension and dismissal of teachers, adding a justification for suspending or dismissing a teacher. It's not within the original title. I believe it's not germane. So whether you agree with the policy or not is not of consequence. I feel that it's not germane and would ask the ruling of the chair to support that.
I'll Senator Office, you'll have to wait a moment while I read the title. Senator Kinski.
Chairman, I would. This is on a. I'm rising to that. This is not my second time. I'm rising to that request for ruling from the chair. I would direct the chair's attention to page 7 of the bill, line 21. It states, Section 2, Wyoming Statute 21-7-110, little a, little Romanette 7, is repealed. That portion of the statute states, in pertinent part, the board may suspend or dismiss any teacher for any of the following reasons. And what is being repealed is the following language, the language that's struck out elsewhere in this bill. Beginning in school year 2019 to 2020 and each school year thereafter, inadequate performance is determined through performance evaluation tied to student academic growth for at least 2 consecutive years completed in accordance with Wyoming Statute 21-3110A, Romanet, etc. So the bill strikes that disciplinary dismissal language out. We're simply replacing it with language that says you may be dismissed for ineffective teaching, which is the very subject matter of this bill, Mr. Chairman. I think it's entirely germane and within the scope of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Kinski. Senator Rossberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I look at the title, it's talking about. Never mind, Mr. President.
Well, thanks for that wonderful input. The chair rules that this is germane. So, Senator Kinski, do you have any further to add? Anybody else like to discuss? Third reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 37. Seeing none, are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of third reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 37, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill, third reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 37 has passed, has been adopted. Now I get this cleaned up. House Bill 30, what are we on? House Bill 37, have we received it? Call the roll, please. I'm sorry. Senator Kinski.
Discussion on the bill?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I would urge the body to vote no on this bill, which was revived on reconsideration. Here's where we are. This is the result. The current statute is the result of years of work by the Select Education Committee to bring accountability to the school districts for both superintendents and principals and teachers. And what House Bill 37 does is effectively guts or removes accountability for teachers. It waters it down. It reverses years of work by the Select Committee. I'd remind the body that we went through many years of work of phase 1, which was assessment, and we're now into phase 2, accountability. We are on the very cusp of implementing the current statutory language, which would bring accountability to the school system, to teachers. There have been a number of rules and regs promulgated by the state board, and now we have in this bill watering down, striking all that very clear language. And I do understand the desire by some districts to say, you know, we don't want that kind of direction from Cheyenne. We'll handle it. And I think for some districts that's true. But for many others, there's been a reluctance or a dragging of feet in terms of bringing the accountability to the table that really needs to be brought to the table. So I'm a strong advocate of local control. There's some situations where, you know, that principal has to yield to the idea that sometimes Cheyenne has to put its foot down and say, you know, we really have to insist politely and firmly this time that we have to have accountability. Otherwise, we're left to be an education ATM. Dispense the money, don't ask questions. On against the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
House Bill 37, is there any further discussion? Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, in the interim, you probably remember I talked and alluded to the fact that we took teacher accountability out, and I had some questions about that. But under Title 29, we had testimony that maybe at the local level they can do it fairly well. With this amendment that we just put on, this puts some real teeth into, I think, the evaluation process now at the local level. So I like the bill better than I did before with this amendment. I'd urge that you support the bill.
Further discussion. Senator Scott?
Mr. Vice President, on and for the bill, and let me see if I can explain what I understand about what's going on here. With the bill, what we're doing really is saying that the area where we have problems that we want to concentrate our state accountability efforts on is at the for the administrative levels, the building principals, the superintendents, the various administrative people. And frankly, I think that's where our major accountability problems are, Mr. Vice President. I think we have got a good job, by and large, done by our teachers. And where we're not getting the results that we need, I think it's problems with the way the school districts are being managed, either at the building level, and I can remember, Mr. Vice President, my late wife, who for 5 years worked in school districts and traveled from one building to another as a physical therapist, said you walked into a building, you could tell whether there was effective things going on there or not, and it depended on the skill and effectiveness of the principal as much as anything. And then at a district level, it depends on the district management. As I understand this bill, we're going to concentrate our state efforts on those levels, and we're going to leave teacher accountability, Mr. Vice President. You do have to pay attention to that, because we have how many thousand teachers across the state? It's more than 3,000, I believe. You get that many people, you're bound to have some that are ineffective that you need to do something about. And with the amendment we just adopted, we strengthen the local ability to do teacher accountability. So, Mr. Vice President, I think this bill puts the accountability emphasis where it belongs, and both in terms of which levels are we concentrating on and which levels are the school district concentrating on. So I would urge adoption of the bill.
Further discussion on House Bill 37. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. As we talk about this, and maybe the sponsors of the bill can resolve this. I mean, before the amendment, I was firmly against the bill. Now I may have softened a little bit, but this is going back and following on what my fellow Natrona County Senator just talked about. I come from my in-laws were all in the education business for a long time in Natrona County and elsewhere in the state. And there's a lot to what the good senator and my fellow senator from Turner County from Bates Creek just said, that a lot of that lies at the leadership positions in the schools. But what I also found out, what's also important out there is what happens when you don't have a really strong leadership in a school. And this is this gets to the part of my concern and my question about this bill in its current form, is what typically happens is the really good principals ultimately able to move ineffective teachers out of their buildings, who then seem to congregate and go to the other places where the leadership's not so strong. And so ultimately the vast majority of teachers are very, very good. And so this is one of those situations where you want to be really careful that you don't let the 5% or the whatever 2%, you know, control everything that happens with the 98%. The other side of that is that ultimately there needs to be accountability all the way down to the classroom. And I agree that it ought to be at that local level. And as I understand the bill, without the bill, my understanding is that ability at the local level is higher than it is with the bill, even with the amendment that we've just made. So I would be interested to hearing, at least that's where I think I'm at on the bill, and that's how I understand it. So we only have one more time to do this. You only have one more time to speak, but I'd be interested to hear between the folks that sponsored the bill and those who think the amendment is a good idea, how that issue is resolved, and how that accountability to keep from just moving, passing a bad teacher out of one school so that someone else is a problem. I want to know how that problem gets solved now if this bill passes.
Further discussion, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On the point of the majority floor leader, this bill is a local control bill. If it passes, that's more local control, because without its passage, then the state would, in the future, adopt a teacher evaluation and performance system that would then be forced upon all of the districts, and that's what they would have to use. Right now, the district gets to decide. There's something called Chapter 29 rules, which basically says that districts have to have an assessment for all teachers. They all have to be assessed, but it provides a lot of flexibility in terms of what that assessment can be like. So the district then gets to decide how to assess, how often to assess. They just have to be proper and robust assessments if this were to pass. So with the passage of House Bill 37, that the district gets to make all of those decisions. They can decide whether they want to evaluate, fire, terminate, put all of those policies in place. It's the Board of Trustees that would then make that decision and adopt their own practices based on that local control. Without passage of House Bill 37, it really does just default to the state. We will be telling all of the districts what they can and can't do, how to do it. We will have a group working with the Select Education Accountability Committee formulate what those standards are going to be, what the practices are going to be, and we're not going to allow flexibility to the districts if we don't pass this legislation. So the purpose for this legislation was recognizing that we heard a strong response from the districts that they didn't want the state to step in and tell them how to do this, that they wanted the flexibility to use their best practices to make their decisions. And, Mr. Vice President, I can tell you, there's not a district in the state that doesn't want this flexibility, unless somehow they just haven't shown up to our committee meetings and provided testimony. This is unanimous among the leadership of the districts because they don't want the state coming in and telling them who to fire, who not to fire, why to fire them, and how they should be evaluating their teachers. So, Mr. Vice President, I understand that there's a lot of interest here in making sure that we're leaving it up to the districts. If we don't pass this legislation, rest assured the districts will not be able to make those decisions. We will take care of that for them at the state level, and we'll tell them who they can terminate, who they can't terminate, and why they would or wouldn't make that termination. So, Mr. Vice President, I would encourage the body to support this legislation, pass it along, and recognize that, as my good friend from Sheridan has pointed out, the Select Education Accountability has been working on this for over 5 years. I believe this is 6 years we've worked on this. And this is a Select Education Accountability product, recognizing all the testimony and hard work that we've put in over the years, what works, what doesn't work, and what we expect to be a better system in the future for our education accountability. We've become convinced that a statewide approach to teacher evaluation is not appropriate, it's not workable, it's not welcomed by the districts, and it's not going to lead to more effective education in the state. This is a top-down, top-heavy approach if we stick with phase two. House Bill 37 recognizes that. It's an evolution in our views over the past few years. A few years ago, we thought differently, Mr. Vice President. We thought we could do this at the state level. I guess I would say that we've learned the error in our ways through repeated browbeating by many school districts and many folks around the state who assured us how very wrong we were, and we accepted that. And that the product that you have in front of you is House Bill 37. I believe our lesson has been learned. I hope the body will support the legislation.
Further discussion, Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'm going to rise in favor of the bill. And I believe what we're experiencing here is the transition from the No Child Left Behind Act to the Every Student Succeeds Act. And as we transition from that, we're going to see some changes and some confusion. And I think No Child Left Behind Act was a top-down, federally forced upon us education system. And one of the requirements that was in that was that teachers were to be evaluated actually by their test scores. And I think a lot of people had a lot of heartburn on that. And I was in favor actually at the time of allowing test scores to be a very, very small part of the evaluation process, like 5%. So that at least you talk to that teacher about that test score. But over time, as the Every Student Succeeds Act was finally replacing and authorizing the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, that test went away. And so we're struggling to find what it is that's going to lead our schools under this new, more local control system. And I believe that the bill has done a wonderful job of doing that. And maybe I should explain very quickly what the evaluation process really is. The evaluation process as a billing principal for 14 years. One of the things that happened with Chapter 29 was that it directed every school district to come up with an evaluation system. And they had the opportunity to, if they could prove it through educational research, to write their own evaluation process. They could choose that if they wanted to. Or they could choose the Charlotte Danielson model. Or they could choose McCrell, which I think the good senator from Cody and I really liked the McCrell because we'd spent so much time working with what I consider is the greatest educational mind in the United States, who just actually passed away. At any rate, the districts did that. And so this evaluation model is based on educational research nationwide on what is very effective teaching and then also what is professionalism amongst the teaching profession itself. And so they have done that. And so I really see with this bill allowing the districts to do that. I don't see them walking away from those models. Essentially what it says is, by law, we're required to do two evaluations per year on an initial contract teacher. Those are our new teachers. And that's a written evaluation twice a year. Once they go into continuing contract status, then according to the model, each teacher writes their own improvement plan every year. And you meet with them at the end of the year, and you talk about whether or not they achieved the goals that they set for themselves. In my district, according to our evaluation model, we were required to have 8 drop-ins on every teacher that we supervised. And then ultimately, the third year of that continuing contract status, you sat down and had a formal written evaluation on a lesson. And that's essentially the process. And so I would ask the body to vote aye on this bill. I think it's a return to local control, a little bit different system than what we've had in the past. And so it's confusing to us, and we're wondering why we're doing. But I believe that those are essentially the reasons for it.
Further discussion. Senator Scott, I believe it's your second time.
Yes, Mr. Vice President, for my second time. In answer to the specific question Mr. Vice President was asked as to what this bill does to the accountability at the local level. The bill repeals a clause that's in there right now that says beginning school year 2019-2020 and each school year thereafter, inadequate performance as determined through performance evaluation tied to student academic growth for at least 2 consecutive years completed in accordance with WS and a statutory reference here. The bill as it stands now with the amendment we just adopted replaces that on the list of reasons that a board may dismiss a teacher with ineffective teaching as defined by board rule. So what it does is it lets the local school board, they still got to define what ineffective teaching is and do it by a rule so everybody knows ahead of time where they stand and what counts. And they could perfectly well adopt a rule that sounds very much like the repealed provision. And I suspect my school district probably would. They use that sort of thing. But it's potentially much broader, Mr. Vice President. So they can adopt a rule that fits with what they think is important and that reaches issues beyond which we were going to propose on this that we would have had with this tying it to student academic growth. So it's a local control measure, the bill is now, Mr. Vice President, that strengthens the hand of the local school boards and local school administration in this area. So I think it focuses us properly, strengthens the hand of the level that ought to be dealing with the teacher accountability issues, and I think it considerably improves our ability to have a good accountability system, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussions. Senator Barnard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for my first and last time here. I can see this. All the arguments are really good, and this does provide local control for our districts. I think we need to realize here we're putting a real demand on our school districts to take a look at these teachers, because, and I'm talking about the trustees of our school districts. I would make the proposition that we pass this. I think it's going to be good, and then make a commitment, each one of us as senators, to go back and talk with our districts, talk with our school boards, talk with our superintendents, and find out if this is going to work. If it's not, we can come back next year, tweak it, eliminate it, or do whatever we need to do. But I ask that you'd pass the bill.
Thank you, Senator. I hope it's not the last time we ever hear from you. Senator Kinski, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, it is a policy choice between local control or direction from Cheyenne. There are districts that don't need our help. We've all heard from districts saying, no, we don't, let us handle it our way. And there are some that will handle business and some that will not. Those who will handle business will not be harmed by the repeal of HB 37, and those who don't handle business will be helped by turning down HB 37, because existing law helps put a little starch in their shorts, so to speak, stiffen up their spine, their resolution. Current law states not later than school year 2019-20 and each school year thereafter require, require that the performance of each initial contract teacher to be evaluated summatively based in part upon student achievement measures as prescribed by rule and regulation of the state board. Teachers shall receive a copy of the evaluation. And then identical language for continuing contract teachers. And then the next requirement on the board, starting in 1919 and each school year thereafter, based in part upon student achievement measures established by the State Board of Education, performance evaluation shall serve as a basis for improvement of instruction, enhancement of curriculum program implementation, measurement of both individual teacher performance, professional growth, performance level of all teachers, and as documentation for unsatisfactory performance, including dismissal, suspension, or termination. That is much greater definition than I would submit than almost any district has undertaken in terms of what they've put into their programs to date. The question of scores, this clearly states it's not the exclusive basis for evaluation, suspension, or discipline, but it says it must be part of the equation. I've never understood the reluctance to incorporate student achievement into teacher evaluation. I have a nephew who became a teacher, and he said it's amazing. You can go into the class, this district that he's in, you can just go into the classroom, close the door, 24 years later, 25 years later, retire, nobody asks any questions.
He says it's got to be done better than that. Scores. I had scores. You had scores. GPA, SAT, ACT, LSAT, GRE. We all have to have scores. And so I think it's only fair that the teacher has to be accountable for this question. You received a class of fifth graders. Did they leave as sixth graders? And if not, why not? And what can we do to help you? And if consistently after receiving help, your fifth graders don't leave as sixth graders or better, then we're going to have a discussion about your career here at this district. And this puts some stiffens up the spine of districts who are otherwise unwilling or unable to take that last step of accountability. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Kinsky. You passed the alphabet test. Any further discussion on House Bill 37? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? House Bill 37, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Agar excused. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinsky?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 26 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 37, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 37 has passed the Senate. House Bill 82, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 82, engrossed, Local Optional Sales and Use Taxes, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to sales and use tax.
Senator Ellis, would you like privilege?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes.
I wanted to just welcome a group of students who are here for Wyoming Educational Access Day. We have a group called the TRIO and Gear Up Program students. They're from all over Wyoming, mainly Cheyenne, Casper, and Laramie. This program is targeted to serve low-income individuals, first-generation college students, and individuals with disabilities to progress through the academic pipeline from middle school to other higher education programs. I wanted to just mention one of these students is the granddaughter of a friend of mine, and they would like to thank us for our work and let us know that they will be at the First Congregational Church at noon today if any legislators want to visit with the students. So with that, I just wanted to welcome them to the Senate.
Are they there?
They were there a minute ago.
Well, welcome to the fictional bunch.
They're having a signing with the governor.
There you go.
Would you like Senator Pappas, would you like privilege?
Yes, and the reason why they had to cut out Mr. Vice President is they are having a resolution signing with the governor right at this moment.
Thank you for that clarification. Senator Ellis, I can't see you amongst all the flowers there.
Thank you.
We're on House Bill 82. Senator Kinsky.
Mr. Chairman, very briefly, you have a handout on your in your boxes that addressed all the very good questions that were asked on first reading, Committee of the Whole. Primarily, those focused on how do you ever get rid of these taxes? And I direct your attention to the far right column of that exhibit, which indicates that because the taxes come up every 4 years, there's an opportunity to vote them down at that time. And then some of the taxes also have the ability for a petition of 5% of the voters to rescind the tax or reverse the resolution. So we'll take the general purpose tax. That's placed on the ballot by a resolution of the county and two-thirds of the towns or cities to be placed on the ballot. That can be removed from the ballot by a petition of 5% of the voters, or it can be placed on the ballot by a petition of 5% of the voters. Specific purpose or cap tax, again, it's by resolution of the county and two-thirds of the towns or cities. It's placed on the ballot. It's discontinued if it's voted down at the polls or the amount is specified. The lodging tax is placed on the ballot by resolution of the county and the cities or petition of 5% of the voters. It can only be discontinued if it is voted down when that opportunity presents itself once every 4 years. The economic development tax, again, two-thirds of the towns, cities, and the counties by resolution or by petition. The difference being the economic development tax can be rescinded at any time by a petition of the voters. Without waiting for an intervening election, it can be placed on the ballot for rescission. The other question that came up is how do these renewals handled in terms of staggering? And the answer is yes. If a county had a 1% optional in 2010 and in 2012 they place a half-cent optional, you would be voting on either 1 cent or a half-cent every 4 years. Or they could place a 1 cent and an incremental cent as two separate propositions on the ballot at the same time. Or they could simply, if a 1 and a 1.5 was voted in 1 year, 4 years later, they could combine it into a 1.5. And I trust that answers the questions that folks had on the bill, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kinski. Any further discussion on House Bill 82? Question, you ready? House Bill 82, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar excused. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Doughton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
Bouchard, no. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen? Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Excused.
Excused. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? Aye. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 25 aye, 3 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 82, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 82 has passed the Senate. The next third reading of House Bill 118.
House Bill 118, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, sponsored by the Water Committee, an act relating to water.
And continuing with the Senator Kinski show.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just a brief follow-up to some questions that I received from folks. I wanted to emphasize this bill contains no appropriation. This is not the last time that you will see this project. It will be if there are successful negotiations for acquisition of the water, that contract would be entirely contingent upon approval of the body. The entire transaction is going to have to go back through the Wyoming Water Development Commission, Select Water, and then through this body for final review. What we're basically telling the director of the Wyoming Water Development Commission is we want to learn more. And as my dad always said, it never hurts to listen. And so you're making no commitments in an aye vote on this bill. One question that came up, and I know there's a concern, is the state acquiring a pig in the poke with Lake DeSmit? Because of the transaction with the Game and Fish, the Lake DeSmit, Johnson County, now has $1 million in the bank, and it's earning a paltry interest, but with the wise legislation passed by this body, that is going to be able to be implemented at a much better rate soon, which will give them more than enough money to cover the operations. In fact, if any of you need a loan at a reasonable rate, we welcome discussions with you. And the final point on this, then, is that I think we need to have these discussions about the purchase of Sasol because it's a 1939 water right, which, with its acquisition, would enable us to move this water right further up the mountain, 1,200 feet higher, and enable protection of some otherwise out-of-priority irrigators. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I urge your affirmative vote on HB 118.
Further discussion on House Bill 118, Senator Hicks?
Mr. Vice President, just for edification for the body, what this bill does is what they can already do. I'm not going to talk about the merits of the project one way or another. Let's just talk about what the bill does. The bill just makes the director of the Water Development Commission feel good. And if we want to pass legislation to make directors feel good, then go ahead and pass this out. They already have the authority to do this. The genesis of this bill is originally it came to the through the Water Development Commission with an appropriation of $4.5 million. The Select Water Committee stripped that appropriation out, but they left in the language that he could negotiate a contract up to $4.5 million. Your standing committee that reviewed the bill stripped that out because we didn't feel it was prudent when you go into a real estate transaction to tell an individual how much money you're going to spend. The simple fact is this won't jeopardize the project one iota. There's already $200,000 that this body passed out in the planning bill to answer a lot of those questions. So vote it up, vote it down. It's not a statutory provision. It just gives the director a little comfort that the legislature thinks it's okay. He already has the authority. We've already passed the planning bill to do a level two study. That's the body's decision.
Further discussion on House Bill 118. Senator Kinski, for your second time.
Final time. What's wrong with making somebody feel good? I read my email and I make 1 out of 10 people who write to me feel good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on House Bill 118. You ready for the question? House Bill 118, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Agar excused. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe? No. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Excused. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Christensen? Aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 14 aye, 14 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 118, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 118 has failed to pass the Senate. House Bill 1, reading of the bill, third reading of the bill.
House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
Senator Burns, would you like to address this small bill.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, we all should have gotten three articles of paper. One is the summary sheet, proverbial cheat sheet, which is what we'll be going through. The other are the actual amendments that the House passed. And then the third sheet is a list of numbers, which really doesn't make a lot of sense, but believe it or not, that's the official report. So, Mr. Vice President, what we're going to be doing, basically, I'm going to be taking us through the House amendments, and that's the report. We're going to vote on the report. We're not actually voting to do anything, to vote for or against anything. It's just a report to you, and then the body will vote to approve the report. Then the President will assign members of the Joint Conference Committee. So, Mr. Vice President, without further ado, everybody's looking on your summary sheet. The first bill we're looking at is H3009A, House Sponsor Schwartz. That was actually an identical or mirror amendment to what was done here, so there's really nothing we can do about that. It removed $1 million from the property tax relief program. Then we get to related amendments, and there are one, two, three, four, there's about five, six of these that are quite similar, so we'll be working either to accept one or the other or some point in between. And the first one had to do with the Army National Guard. This has to do with the Youth Challenge Program. This body, and it was an amendment by Senator Boehner, approved $400,000. Over on the House side, they approved $500,000. So we'll either... Oh, I'm sorry. We did five, they did four. My mistake. I flipped it around. I apologize for that, Mr. Vice President. So they'll either accept our position, we'll accept their position, or some point in between. And that's the point of the first Joint Conference Committee. The Joint Conference Committee can only operate in between the two positions or take one or the other. We cannot go out, for instance, let's say the committee had decided we don't like this amendment at all. We can't get rid of it. We can only go anywhere between $400,000 or $500,000. Now, if this committee doesn't work out and we go to a second conference committee, that's an open committee, and there are no borders or sideboards on that. So, I don't know who I'm addressing now, the president or the vice president. So, two of you. The next amendment up has to do with the livestock board. And this was the $88,997 to deal with the senior livestock investigator. These bills are very close. It's just a little bit of a language change, so it's virtually identical. The next group of amendments down, you see Nicholas, and Burns. This has to do with the statutory reserve account that we set up. The House did something similar. They had some sideboards on the restricting the governor. And you can see there's money there for Title 25 funding. There's money there for the on both sides. There's money there for the penitentiary in case of a penitentiary failure. So this is we will work between the $104 million and the $95 million that they have. The next one has to do with major maintenance. And this we provided $200,000 to Western Wyoming College because of some problems they're having with pipes. We provided $200,000. The House only provided $100,000 and stated that the college had to match that. So that will be subject to negotiation. The next amendment had to do with the position freeze. If you recall, we put in the budget bill that the committee brought was 75 people. The House position actually states that what they did was they changed the effective date from January to April. So we'll have a chat with them about that and see what their reasoning was. Now we get to unrelated amendments. And these are amendments that may have had nothing to do with each other. The first one was the Burkhardt Amendment, and this adds $5,000 for Secretary of State to the Secretary of State for publication of the Wyoming Constitution, and adds a footnote. And that is the first. Actually, we have a bill here, a House Bill 23, which is the first one up on Committee of the Whole today. So we'll see how that goes, whether we want to keep it in the budget or go with the bill. The problem is, if they both pass, then we're talking $10,000. The next one had to do with the nine new positions that both the House and the Senate agreed to provide to the Treasurer's Office for investment managers. The House amendment put new benchmarks and performance standards on those nine new employees, so we can see if they're actually being effective or not. The next has to do with A&I, and it raises the mileage on the state motor vehicle polls. The state motor pool vehicles from 120,000 to 150,000, and there's a question in my mind whether that should be in a budget bill or not. It sounds like legislating by budget bill. In addition, it's only good for a year, so there doesn't seem to be a lot of point in my mind to it. Second one down is similar. It says that states that the state will no longer fund the GPS tracking for motor vehicles within the fleet. The next one down has to do with the Border Control, and actually they brought one amendment and then killed that same amendment, so that amendment has no effect at all. On the next page, this is the Department of Health, healthcare financing. It puts another $1 million from the tobacco funds into the comprehensive waiver for children and adults with DD, adult mental disabilities. We already did something similar to that. This is $1 million on top of that, and there's also a question as to whether the tobacco funds can be used for that purpose or not. So we'll have a little discussion with them about that. The next amendment increases the General Fund Appropriation Public Health Division for expenditures related to maternal child health. This was the money that we cut was $405,000, and it was from adolescent care, and it had to do with counseling and advocacy. Apparently, the Department of Health came back and said, oh, no, we made a mistake when we listed that much in adolescent care, and convinced somebody on the House side that $335,000 of it was actually for maternal child health. We want to have a chat with them about it, and also have a chat with the Department of Health as to how sloppy they may be keeping their books if they're making $300,000 mistakes. The next one had to do with 90% of the substance abuse prevention appropriation. This is not an appropriation. This had to do with the money going to the PMOs and actually directs where that money can go. The next amendment has to do with our old friend, the 15th Street in Laramie. Apparently, they really like that amendment down at the other end of the building. We got rid of it, and they brought it back. I don't know that, just a little editorial comment, I don't know that we want to be sitting there putting in the budget bill a requirement that they meet and using the power of the legislature to force a meeting. The next amendment, this is a substantial amendment. This deals with the health insurance for retirees, for those retirees who are over 65 and already getting Medicare. Right now, what the state does is we provide $5.75 to each retired employee over 65 per month for each year that they were employed. So if they were employed for, say, 10 years, they'd be getting 57, let's say 20 years so that they'd qualify for retirement. They'd be getting about $114 per month. This gets rid of that program. It saves the state $1.6 million. I'd like to hear a little more from the House end as to how beneficial that is. Because as we know, I don't know much about this. I do know that Medicare doesn't cover everything for everybody, and there may be a question of the promises that we made to employees who are already retired. The next one is the Clem Amendment, and this has to do with the position freeze. I misspoke about this earlier. This basically gets rid of, states that 45 of the positions themselves have to be eliminated. So we're actually getting into some live bodies here. And we want to have a chat with them. And then the last amendment, the Nicholas Amendment, has to do with the tobacco tax. And, Mr. President, as you recall, we got rid of that footnote because we had already put money into Title 25 through the budget reserve account. So that money wasn't needed. So the way the Senate currently has it is that estimated $3 million will be going into the general fund. They did not get rid of that footnote, and so it's basically a technical correction on that. So we'll have a chat with them as to whether or not they'd like to get rid of that footnote also. And, Mr. President, with that, those are the actions of what the House did. We're looking forward to some long and fruitful discussion with them.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, comment question with regard to the Hallinan Amendment at the top of page 2, where he's putting in money for the comprehensive waiver for children's adult developmental disabilities. I understand that was calculated for two things. I understand it was calculated assuming the what the Appropriations Committee had done and added the $1 million to the tobacco settlement from that. And I would point out we had an amendment in exactly the same area that put in, it was over $3 million, but the source was from within the Medicaid program. But, Mr. President, my point is those two are similar amendments, and I would hope that the negotiation would be within the difference between the two houses and with regard to the appropriate source. I don't think those two amendments should be considered as entirely separate. They were different attempts at the same thing that put more money into the same function.
Further discussion? Senator Meyer.
And because we didn't have the position freeze, I think it may be appropriate to look at Department of Corrections and maybe let them out of that because they have some problems with that position freeze. And I don't have any problems with it going other places, Mr. President, but I think, have a good discussion about how that affects the Department of Corrections, and you might be able to exempt them on that.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, as I said, we have to either go with their position, they go with ours, or somewhere in between in answer to the tall senator from Bates Creek. And as to the senator from the southeast part of the state, we have an amendment in our budget that does exempt the Department of Corrections from the position freeze, so we will be arguing strenuously for that position.
Further discussion? Any other questions? Any other questions? There being no further discussion on House Bill 1, in accordance with Joint Rule 14-1G and Joint Rule 14-1H, House Bill 1 is referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members from each House to meet to resolve the differences between the Houses with respect to both budget bills, Senate File 1 and House Bill 1. The conference committee is as follows. Chair, Senator Burns. Senator Dockstader. Senator Driscoll. Senator Hastert. And Senator Landon.
Hi, Don.
Big surprise there.
You need a what?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, unless you want to do... Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I've just been advised that we may need a floor vote on the standing committee report.
What happens if we voted down? What happens if we voted down?
Yes, just a second. Senator Office.
Senator, I think we're voting no on accepting the House amendments. That would be my guess. Maybe not.
Yeah, stand by.
It's Mr. President, it is to accept the report. It's not any different than the journal report.
Well, Senator Burns, you have a motion.
Yes, Mr. President, I move the standing committee report for House Bill number 1.
Acceptance. Before we take the vote, we're going to verify.
Mr. President, we might save ourselves a lot of time by voting no on this report.
Okay, Senator Perkins.
My understanding is that the nature of the motion is exactly as the good chairman of Appropriations said. All we're doing is voting to accept the conference report. We're not voting to accept the amendments.
Okay, you've all heard the motion. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion is carried. Now, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, what would you like to do?
What I'd like to do and the motion I'm going to make are two different things. Mr. President, I move that we stand recessed until, two p.m. I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet down at the JAC room here at, let's say, 12:15, where we will take up House Bill 93, engrossed, the WICHE repayment program, veterinary medicine students. We will also take up 2 re-referred bills, House Bill 40, re-referred, education accountability, and House Bill 165, which was just re-referred this morning, Acupuncture Practice Act.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet Thursday morning at 8 a.m., Jonah Room, L54, note that's the big room, to deal with House Bill 114, engrossed, service and assistance animals.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet about 25 past the hour in S18 to discuss interim topics, and the conference committee, Senator Scott and Senator Coe, if we get the House is out, we'd like to meet very soon, immediately if possible. Senate File 6, radioactive waste storage amendments.
Senator Emmerich, would you come up here, please? Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number 1 will continue this morning's meeting and take up House Bill 153, Parental Rights, in S19 at 12:10.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Committee number 8, Transportation, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment in Jonah Room S27. Consider the following bills: House Bill 280, Vehicle Registration Requirements; House Bill 64, engrossed, Move Over Requirements; House Bill 202, engrossed, Motor Vehicle Insurance Penalties. Also, Mr. President, your Joint Committee of Transportation number 8 will meet Wednesday, February 22nd, 10 minutes after adjournment, in Jonah Room L51 to discuss interim topics, and remind the committee or anybody that has transportation issues to get those interim topic forms into our committee.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. in Jonah Room S18. We're going to take up House Bill 96, engrossed, microbrewery permits; House Bill 98, LLC dissolution distributions; House Bill 186, engrossed, Improvement and Service Districts-Services; House Bill 276, engrossed, Recording Legislative and Other Meetings; House Bill 106, Change in Party Affiliation, if time permits. Also, Mr. President, we do encourage folks interested in some of the Corporations Committee issues to get in interim topic forms. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Amen. Any other announcements? You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Helen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot to do that. We'll do it as soon as we come back.
Okay.
And on those House bills, the ones we passed on third reading, if they're committee bills,